Do you feel it? Do you feel that time of the season? I feel it. I feel it today. It's excitement. It's jitteries. It's hustle and bustle. I typically show up early and the place is fairly quiet. It's kind of a calm before we get things going, you know? And today, hustle and bustle, we're getting things lined up and cookies are out. And as I went through the first portion of our scripture there, I started to think to myself, you know, I've let the festival, I've let the season, I've let the holiday interfere with my worship. And it should be the other way around. Our worship must leave this building and interfere with what people call the holiday. So before we get to the sermon, would you please pray with me for some calmness, some peace, some patience, and all the other things that I bet you need as well as I do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us. Send your Spirit to guide these words so that we may indeed have the light in our hearts inflamed to not only shine here at this time, at this particular moment, but may it be inflamed all day, all week, all year, so that we may take the true meaning of Christmas, the true light that brings darkness into the world, from this spot out into the world in which we live. May we take Jesus and not leave him in a manger, but take him out to the people that we know, the people we work with, the community we live in, and let everyone know the true reason for why we are happy, why we have hope, and what brings us great joy. We ask these things in the name of your heavenly Son. Amen. Today, our second candle that was lit. Hey, one of them went out. The second candle, there were two candles lit. Does anyone remember the name of the second candle? What was the name of the second candle?
Joy.
Well, that's coming up. I'll get you again next week. Yes. I'll get you again later. It was the Bethlehem candle. Now some people call it the Bethlehem candle. Some people call it the candle of peace. And you know, to be quite honest with you, I did a lot of searching. And it seems like within the different denominations, they kind of switch these names around a little bit too. So maybe somewhere it was love, joy. But ours today, when Mr. DeHaven was reading the reading, he said this was the Bethlehem candle, or the candle of peace. What an interesting candle. I mean, when you think about it, what comes to mind when you contemplate Bethlehem? Most people think the manger. I mean, they think about the nativity. They think about wise men, the baby, the angels, the shepherds. Bethlehem has such a long, long range of well, not meanings, but appearances throughout the Holy Scriptures. We even touched on a couple of them today. And so much has happened. God's plan started from the beginning of time, and he knew exactly what steps were going to be taken. It was all a part of his wonderful plan. Our first reading today had to do with Rachel. Now, Rachel was a lovely woman. And this is, as far as I know, this is one of the first appearances that we see of Bethlehem in the Holy Scriptures. Back in the book of Genesis, we have the tribes being created. Everyone knows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Jacob married this woman, and the one we're talking about here is Rachel. And they had 12 boys, and they're called the 12 tribes. But there was a special one today that was born. They were on their way into the area and vicinity of Bethlehem, not far away. And Rachel, in labor, gave birth, and she died. That's sad. But she gave her life so that that child could live. Rachel, as she was lying there giving birth, named this son. In Hebrew, it had a certain name, but the name that she gave meant son of pain. How'd you like to go through life being named Son of Pain? No one would like that. But Jacob, her husband, looked at this boy and said, no, his name is Benjamin, son of, some could say, son of righteousness, son of right, son of virtue. Many different meanings. It's a great thing about Hebrew. Every word has 20 different meanings. But in the context of this, it certainly appears that son of right or son of righteous, rightness, virtue, probably is one of the best possible meanings of that name, Benjamin. So next time you're out and about and you see someone named Benjamin, you'll know that's where the name came from. But this was a special tribe. See, Benjamin and Judah were the two tribes that were left. And throughout the long history of the Old Testament, things happened over a course of 1,000 years. Benjamin and Judah remained. And it's going to play a key role in what happens to get to the nativity. But let's move on. So we have Rachel who gave up her life so that this child may be born. Later on, in the Holy Scriptures, at least chronologically, we have another appearance of Bethlehem. For those of you that like stories, some people say, oh, I can't read the Old Testament, it's so hard to read. Read Ruth. Ruth is a good read. It's a story, a beautiful story. And you can sit down and pick it up, and it's just as good as anything you've read off the New York Times bestseller list. Ruth was not a Jew. Ruth was out, and I'll make the story quick. We had some people come out from the Bethlehem area. They ended up marrying these Moabites. Ruth was a Moabite. And in time, these men died while living in Moab. And Ruth's mother said, Ruth, you're off the hook. You can stay. But Ruth, now, if you look at today's TV and what's on, anytime a mother-in-law says you can leave, people make fun of that. They say, hey, I got off the hook. The chain's been let off my ankle. But that's not truly biblical. See, Ruth responded to her mother-in-law with beautiful words. Ruth said to her mother-in-law, don't urge me to leave or turn your back from me. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Ruth wouldn't have anything to do with it. Her and her mother-in-law went back to Bethlehem. And there, I don't want to give the story away, you might go home and read it today, but there, Ruth met this wonderful man in Bethlehem named Boaz. Strong, handsome, what a nice guy. But according to the Jewish law, Boaz couldn't marry her because there was someone else in line. In the Jewish law, the in-laws were supposed to take care of each other. The sons, the brothers, they're all supposed to take care of each other. And there was someone else there. But Boaz stood up and said, I will redeem this woman. I will purchase her. I'll make her mine. What will it cost for me to make her one of mine? And he was willing to give whatever was necessary so that he could keep this woman. So he redeemed her. She was very, very poor. She went to the fields during the day, and after everyone was done picking up and gathering all the wheat, she'd go and they would just pick up whatever was left. And Boaz said, I want to make her mine. Beautiful. From a poor, lowly peasant to now a wonderful woman. And the story continues on that they had children. And their firstborn, or one of their children, was Obed. And Obed had a child named Jesse. And Jesse had a child named David. We'll hear more about David in a minute. God kept it going. His plan was completely flawless. And it all goes through Bethlehem. Moving on, I said we'd get to David. What about David? Over time, the Jewish people, the Israelites, they wanted a king. They wanted someone to rule over them. And they ended up with Saul. Saul started out okay, but then took some wrong turns, made some bad decisions. And in the end, not a very good king. So they needed another. There was a lot of men who would have wanted the job of king. Who wouldn't? But there was one special person chosen, anointed by God to be the king of everyone. And that one person came from this little family, well, this family that lived in Bethlehem. Was it the oldest brother? No, it wasn't. Well, maybe it was the next oldest brother. No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, going through this whole family, they went through the sons one by one by one, and they said, that's it. Surely there's got to be one more. The Lord knows that the king's going to come from this family. You're not talking about scrappy little David out there, the shepherd, are you? Bring him in. And it was. David, this little shepherd in Bethlehem, was named king. He was anointed to rule over the people. He was a great shepherd. He became fantastic with a slingshot. Got so good that he could even take down a giant later on in life. But he was a good king too, and the people loved him. We heard in our psalm today that an oath was promised to David, that his sons would sit on the throne forever and ever. A beautiful shepherd and a king whose kingship would never end. All coming from the little town of Bethlehem. Many, many years later, bless you. Many, many years later, things went from bad to worse for the Israelites. Some of them were captured and taken off. Others were in threat of being captured. And they continually were turning their back on God. But this prophet out of nowhere came up. And Micah had some really interesting prophecies. Many judgments. God's going to repay you harshly. But amidst all those judgments, there was hope. And Micah wrote, "But for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." All out of this little town called Bethlehem. And as we turn the page from the Old Testament to the New Testament, as we open up the Gospels and we begin to read, lo and behold, Bethlehem pops back up. And born on this starry night in this little tiny town with a very small population. The hustle and bustle creeping in from the world as a census was called, and everyone's coming in and there's people, there's no room for anything in this small place. Even difficult to find on a map. Was born a true shepherd, a wonderful king, the Prince of Peace, who came to redeem the poor and make them his own, and in the end, be willing to give up his life so that they may live. I'll take your amen, Tommy. I can't add anything more to that. Keep Bethlehem in your mind. And think of it completely new this season. as something so small, greatness comes and lights this dark world for all of us. Amen.